ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 29, which is entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabari, text 79. Please repeat. Atastat apavadartam. Bhajya sarvatmana harim Pasyam stat atmakam visvam Stiti utpati upyayayata Atastat Ata Therefore Tat, that, apavada artam, to counteract, bhajya, engage in devotional service, sarva atmana, with all your senses, harim, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pasyam, seeing, tat, of the Lord. Atmakam, under the control. Visvam, the cosmic manifestation. Stiti, maintenance, utpati, creation, apyaya, and an annihilation, yata, from whom? You say annihilated or annihilated, yeah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Narada Muni is speaking here. You should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in devotional service of the Lord. Please repeat. You should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. Self-realization understanding oneself as Brahman or spirit soul is very difficult in the material condition. However, if we accept the devotional service of the Lord will gradually reveal Himself. In this way, the progressive devotee will gradually realize his spiritual position. We cannot see anything in the darkness of night, not even our own selves. But when there is sunshine, we can see not only the sun, but everything within the world as well. Lord Krishna explains in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Maya Shakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjam Mat Asraya Asamsayam Samagramam Yata Gyasyasi Tak Srinu. Translation. Now hear, O son of Prita, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. And then the last part of the purport. When we engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord to become Krishna conscious, we understand not only Krishna, but everything related to Krishna. In other words, through Krishna consciousness, we can understand not only Krishna and the cosmic manifestation, but also our constitutional position. In Krishna consciousness, we can understand that the entire material creation is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's maintained by Him, and it's annihilated by Him, and absorbed in Him. We are also part and partial of the Lord. Everything is under the control of the Lord. And therefore, our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in His transcendental loving service. Om Agyanati Marandasya Agyananaya Sarakaya Shakshurin Minatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnudaya Krishna Vistaya Vitalaya Srimati Satsarubhas Vaswami Tinamni Namam Vishnudaya Krishna Vistaya Vitalaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamni Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschatya Dizitani. So here we are at the end, coming at the end of the pastime with Narada Muni instructing King Prachinabarisat. In the beginning, when his sons, the Prashetas, were inspired by Lord Shiva to do meditation on Lord Vishnu, then King Prachinabarisat, he wanted to continue with his with what he was used to do, some yagyas and some more leading as a king the country, etc. But then by Krishna's arrangement and by his pious credits, Narada Muni came on the scene, and he asked the king a question, because naturally the king had his children, and as he wanted to populate the universe, so some part of his mission was fulfilled. But then Narada Muni came with some life question. He says, "My dear king, what do you desire to achieve by performing these fruitive activities?" "The chief aim of life is to get rid of all miseries and enjoy happiness, but these two things cannot be realized by fruitive activity." It's a little bit like a similar situation when Krishna, as a small boy, when Krishna's father wanted to do the yajna for Lord Indra to get enough rain, then Krishna was pointing out that he was pointing out so many things that you know, when you glorify, when you make offers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all the demigods and all the living entities become satisfied. And he was saying that Lord Indra provides rain on the land, but he even provides rain on the sea. What is the use of the rain on the sea? So Krishna was making a number of points to convince Nanda Maharaj to stop this yajna. So in the same way, Narada Muni is asking this question: What do you want to achieve in life? And then the king replied very humble. He, recognizing the status of Narada Muni and his position related to Narada Muni, he said, "O great soul, Narada, my intelligence is entangled in fruitive activities. Therefore, I do not know the ultimate goal of life. Kindly instruct me in pure knowledge, so that I can get out of the entanglement of fruitive activities." So this was the right attitude and the right comment when we have the fortune, the great fortune of approaching an elevated spiritual authority, then this is the right. Narada Muni asked the right question, and he couldn't really answer, but he did realize, being king in goodness, he did realize that he wasn't doing the right thing, but he didn't really have the solution. And that's why we go out preaching, because there are many people, they want to do good, but they don't know what you have to do in order to do good to yourself and to others. They simply don't know. They are in ignorance. So here also, but because of his humble attitude, then Narada Muni was inclined to help him as the perfect transcendental traveling preacher. And then this took place in, like, there are like, I think, five chapters were with the allegory and with King Puranjana, who was nobody else than actually King Prachina Barishat, but that the king didn't know. But Narada Muni brought him to preach to him by explaining so many elements and so many flows that there are in this material world, and that we can easily become sidetracked. And he pointed out all these weaknesses and all these traps there are by being in the material world. And the material world is a place where we can easily be sidetracked from the real goal in life. And in fact, it is Maya's service to try to sidetrack us. She got that service from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the illusory energy in the material world is very, very strong. So unless we have, like King Prachina Barisat, this great fortune to meet a pure devotee or a representative of the Lord, it is very difficult to get out of this world. Because as we know, when once we get involved in sense gratification, then we create material activity. And then once we are in that circle of sense gratification and producing material activity and trying to enjoy the senses, then we find newer and newer ways how to enjoy the senses. That's what the material world is about. That's what modern society is very successful in finding new ways of sense gratification and bringing that to the people, always in new packages. And you know, the people seem to be quite successful in doing that. Because it's a vicious circle, but it's a down going vicious circle. It brings you gradually down to hell, basically. While the association with the pure devotee following the instructions brings you gradually out of this illusion, out of this darkness, and, you know, as the Prabhupada says in the purport, when it is dark, then you don't see anything. And when there is sunlight, you see everything, including the sun. So this there is the downward circle which the material world and material energy is very expert in, and then there is that counterparty of, in this case, associating with Narada Muni, who explains him all this. Because in one sense, it is very simple. Krishna is everything, and all we have to do is surrender to Him. That's, you know, even the last line of this purport states that everything is under the control of the Lord, and therefore our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in His transcendental loving service. So we find this this type of statement we find thousands of times in the Bhagavatam. Just like the materialists, they are very expert in packing the same old enjoyment in new packages. So Prabhupada is very expert in packing the message in different ways, in the hope that we finally get a point. But the essential point is very, very simple. Just that it's not possible for us, being conditioned as we are, it's not possible for us to get it, to understand it. Like if somebody says, you're not your body, you're spirit soul. Okay, so in theory, yes, I agree. But between I agree and I realize, there is a vast difference. And we can see many signs, like we all devotees, we accept that concept. It's not that we every day start to argue, no, I'm a body. No, I don't think I'm a spirit soul. And we don't speak like that. We don't think like that. At the same time, if you see how we act in a way that we are this body. And like when we read in the morning the Japa book, so many times it's the request is there, just chant, just hear, simply hear. And what are we doing in our mind? There is a whole world going on. And what's the use of it? But that the fact that so much is going on in our the Japa book is advising, or Prabhupada is advising, Burijan Prabhu is advising, just thinking now, just hear now the holy name. Don't think about the past, don't think about the future, just be present now, be present in the chanting. The fact that we are pondering on our past and pondering on our future means we misunderstand who we are. Because we are the servant of Krishna, and we are supposed to act as the servant of Krishna, and if we serve Him, He promises that He will take care of everything. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharaj. So this thinking of the past and thinking of the future while doing japa is an expression of I think I'm this body. Although we all agree to the theoretical principle, but to the practice of that theoretical principle or to the realization, we are struggling with it. And that's why Narada Muni takes 5 chapters to explain to Prachina Bharisat all the hurdles in this material world and make him understand that, you know, that sense gratification is an obstacle on the spiritual path. And you know, and the strongest nut of sense gratification is this, you know, connection, this attachment between man and women. And this is all very much explained, and with the Prachina Bodhisattva story, everything is explained. And he goes through it very patiently and very clearly and with nice examples, so that finally King Prachina Bodhisattva understood. And we see also, just a few verses left, that he did get the point fully, and he did take the action of renunciation, which will then ultimately lead him to go back to Godhead. And for us it's the same. The same message is there. The message is there, you know. Everything is under the control of the Lord. And therefore our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in His transcendental loving service. And this doesn't mean stop everything what we are doing. No, it means make sure that everything we are doing is service to the Lord. And look in our days, how many hours are we busy for Krishna, how many hours are we busy in our mind, for ourselves or whatever, and gradually come to increase what we do for pleasing the Lord. Because even the controlling of the senses, and there are yogis who try to control their senses by sitting in a quiet place, etc., and to some extent they arrive there. But then at some moment, sometimes they are also overwhelmed. But the process of Krishna consciousness is that we give everything to Krishna, we do everything for Him, we try to please Him, you know, in our meditation, in our activities, and then He will take care of. That is this type of surrender. Vidura did the same with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was, you know, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he was in the house of King Yudhisthira. In one sense, he was staying in the house of his enemy. And, you know, and he was getting old and you know, and everything. And Vidura, after his pilgrimage, he came back surcharged with spiritual energy, and he spoke strongly to his brother, you know, and he told him to not rot in the house of the enemy, and to get out and renounce. And his speaking was strong and clear, and he did. And Vidura went along with him. And then he renounced the world, and then thanks to that he got a lot of credits. Of course, the things had happened which couldn't be faced away also. I mean, he had wrongly provoked a war. He had made wrong judgments by which so many people were killed. due to its wrong judgment. So of course that cannot be erased like that, but he did achieve some type of liberation thanks to the fact that finally he, at the end of his life, he renounced the world by his own accord, inspired or stimulated, you can say, by Vidura. So the sooner we can wait for the end of our life, that's one way, and hope that in the moment we are pushed out of this body, that it goes well. That's one way to do. But another way is to prepare ourselves and re-establish our connection with Krishna, as it is stated here, that about the constitution, Krishna consciousness, we can understand not only Krishna and the cosmic manifestation, but also our constitutional position. So our constitutional position is that we are an eternal servant of Krishna. So we can wait until the end of our life, or we can sincerely work on it now, today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and become serious in Krishna conscious and make steps in the direction as indicated in so many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, where we find so many inspiring statements to work on the understanding, I am not this body, to work on the understanding that sense gratification makes us go the opposite way of where we should go. Because our constitutional position is to be an eternal servant of the Lord. So sense gratification makes us think that we are the Lord and that we are independent of Him. So that is the opposite direction of our constitution. And constitution is not just a statement, because constitution is what we really are. That's the meaning of constitution. We can think this, we can think that, fine. You know, one thinks like this, another one thinks like that, another one likes the color blue, another one likes the color yellow. That's all fine. But constitution means what we really are. That's the meaning of the word constitution. And our constitution is that we are servants of Krishna. So whatever steps we take in the direction of what we are really, of what we really are, that is progress. And whatever steps we make towards sense gratification, for example, that means we go the opposite way. It's like when you want to go somewhere, you want to go to Durbuy, then you have to go right when you come out here. If you go left and you go in the direction of Somlez, so you go the opposite way. So then it brings you farther away from Durbuy. So the same, exactly the same with Krishna consciousness. Constitutional position is a fact. And that cannot be changed. One can argue foolishly, but then it's foolish argument. The fact is, constitutional position is a fact that stands and that will never not be, that will always be. That is something which will never change. not even when there are different yugas or when it's day or when it's night, we are eternally servants of Krishna. And whatever we feed that understanding, that will be to our progress. Whatever we go away from that right understanding, that will be to our loss, waste of time, waste of energy, etc., etc. So I'll stop here. Any comments? I think Srila Prabhupada did mention that most of us, I think the numbers which I have heard is 90%, 95% of us will marry, but there is also 5 or 10% who of the devotees who will remain as brahmachari. And to remain as brahmachari is the most is the best way, because the chance to get your connection with Krishna in a more direct way is very much there. It's also there by marrying, etc. But the distractions are also there when we marry. So if somebody feels I would like to stay brahmachari, and then he should not go against his feeling by marrying. Of course, if there are a number of signs which, you know, the devotees around us are the mirrors for that, then you know, they may also express that. But it's not when there is a little sign that, you know, based on that little sign that you have to make such important decisions. This is amongst the most important decisions in life, you know. And if you marry, you have to responsibly marry. If you stay brahmachari, you have to responsibly be brahmachari and grow in your brahmachari life as a, hopefully as a respected preacher, but if that conviction is there, I don't think you need to you know, even if at some moment there is a doubt. I mean, doubt is a sign of intelligence, so then you analyze, you see why is that doubt there at this moment. And but if it's, you know, if it is within bounds, within limits, and easy to so to say to rectify, then I don't see the, it's, to be brahmachari is a very honorable position, and can be a lifetime position. There are devotees, as you know, there are devotees in our movement who never married, and it depends on the sincerity, purity, dedication, meditation. So Because I mean, we are brahmacharis, then we should put ourselves in the environment of brahmachari service, means preaching or you know, busy with studying and like that. These are my 5 cents. No. I think there is hope for all of us, as Lord Chaitanya, you say it yourself, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation, so he comes to deliver us, and you know, he is giving his formula for free, you know, just take it and do it. Dhritarashtra, you know, he was very carefully and clearly informed by Vidura, and he neglected his advice. He neglected the advice of Lord Krishna, he neglected the advice of Vidura. He was just attached to Duryodhana and was influenced by Duryodhana, you know, who was just more of a demoniac nature. So if a king, you know, listens to the wrong people, then it's going to be detrimental for him and for the kingdom. So that's what happened, but thanks to Vidura, and you know, at least he came out of his house where he was going to become dement, I mean, and going to, I don't know what type of birth he would have taken. So at least he, you know, he left his body in an honorable way, and from that he got liberation, which from there he can, it was a lower level of liberation, from where he then could take further steps. Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Some promising,